way I see this book, this is something we should always remember, because I could be dead wrong. Up to the end, nobody told me I'm wrong. Almost all of my teachers, they accepted it as a new look at the book, but some may not like it, and I didn't. I did it because I reacted to some personal mistake and ignorance. Because this is Masnavi, and Masnavi supposedly is the best form for a long poem, a very long one. In a long poem, you will not rhyme the endings, you will rhyme each part in the same. In one line you have two rhymes and that's it. I thought that the titles has nothing to do with rhyme. Therefore I wouldn't read it, and nobody read it, and when they read it I didn't like it. I was a kid, and those are sometimes in Arabic, and sometimes they're too much, and they have the explanation that is unnecessary and will not add anything to it, all of that, so I didn't pay attention to that. Then some other stuff happened, and I came back to this book with another way of looking at things. This is when I learned a new science on cybernetics, and I started to understand hermeneutics and things like that. I came back to this book and I found it very interesting. First, I understood that these are made by Rumi, and they are everything but normal, as everything with Rumi. Sometimes that title is just one word, hikayat, story. And it goes a very long paragraph. Sometimes the heading of the paragraph is longer than the verses. There are only five verses and a very long title. Lots of different explanations. And I noticed a strange mixture here. Inshallah, shortly you will see we're trying to put it in a way that you could see it, how it works, Rumi. He starts with the story, and suddenly he will let the story be suspended over there, and we will start a side story. And sometimes within that we go to another story. We'll come back to this. This was a little bit odd, because you say a story, at the end, okay, conclusion is this, and the moral of this is this, and that's it. He doesn't do that. So I started to divide it to stories. Okay, how many stories are there? Okay, they're interwoven. And this is the time that I'm looking at this systematically, so I'm working that. Then I realized something very interesting. When I divided it to stories, especially in book 3 and 4, I found a pattern that he will start with a story, then he will go away, he will go away, he will make another story. But when you look carefully, sometimes he will change the title but not the story. Sometimes he will change the story but not the title. Then, normally at the end of the story, something is obvious to look at. There is an explanation about an ayah or an hadith. That's normally the last paragraph of big stories. Then I dig further. You know how I dig. I started to say, okay, these paragraphs are divided like this, and there are these stories like this. Let's see how the book is formed and what is he doing. Especially what it means to him, a paragraph. And I discovered that a paragraph is an argument. You could make it long or short, but it's a subject, it's something. Then the next paragraph is a little bit different. It is so that I dare to make things like this. It's not here. But things like this. I reduced, I have done it for four books. another two books, then maybe you will see it in China. It goes out, okay, the story starts with this. This is first paragraph. In this first paragraph, you could choose one, normally one. In some cases, if it is a very long paragraph, maybe two, three. Verse which obviously will represent the subject of that paragraph. First I did for book one only. And I have it. I have some verses that you read it and it looks like a very intelligent, compact argument. One line per paragraph. You could go even like that. And if you look at it like that, suddenly those ending stories, they are a little bit different. Normally, they are added to the end of the argument. When I looked further, I saw these are the references. You will say this argument we're talking about, the reference to do more research about it, go and read that Quranic verse or that hadith. And they come always at the end of the story to refer the researchers to somewhere to go and find more about this argument. And by tricks like this, I started to divide this book to understand it a little bit better, especially for memorization, because I don't have a good memory. I have a real difficulty to memorize something. I have to play a literal game and things like that to memorize something. When I found this story, suddenly everything is set. I know there are eight stories at the beginning. This is where we are, right? We reread these eight stories. You remember those eight stories and how simple it was. First story was the problem of human being falling in love with intelligence, understanding the rules and becoming ignorant to exceptions. This is first story. That's the first paragraph of it. The second one is the different universe. Then within that, I remember the paragraphs. I know there are nine paragraphs over there, and each paragraph says something. But the first story is this. And it makes a lot of sense to me, because I cannot memorize anything. I have to understand it. And I understand this book by knowing it. Not that I know all verses, this is impossible. Not impossible, I'm not that gifted. A gifted fellow could memorize it all, I don't know. But the way I understood it, I came back to it. Then I brought it in my teaching is this, I'll tell you that. Remember these stories, it will be the main guideline to understand the book. Because this is a long, long conversation. The guy talked more than 15 years. More than 15 years stuff. And you cannot be preoccupied with one part of it and lose the rest, because it's poetic language, and even that part you could be wrong, interpreted differently, because that's what poetic language is. And it's supposed to be that way. Therefore, I have a guideline. And the guideline is like this. In the first half of this book, Rumi is explaining what the problem is in us. Why you are not enchanted. Period. And this, when you take it back and apply it, you will see even each word fits. He starts with, listen to our story, because this is the story of our heart, our feeling, our passion. And what is the story of our passion? Our passion is lost. When? When we trusted the logic, 100%. what's wrong with love? It's illogical. There is nothing logical in it. And that's our subject. Then I went back further. Even before the book, remember? Suddenly I realized this silly argument that after Rumi everybody presented. Why six volume? Where is the seventh one? Everybody knows that seven is a complete number. You know why? It's as simple as playing with your coins. Seven is the larger circle. Circle is the simplest form in the universe because it represented one information only. Okay? The circle, strangely, has some strange properties. One of it is you could surround it with six similar coins and they touch each other and they make a bigger circle. That's the complete one. One in the center, six around it.
Of the same size.
Same size, same coin. This is one of the strangest properties of it because the easiest thing, without any instrument, with none, just a piece of rope, you could divide a circle to six. Because the diameter, actually, half of the diameter, radius, will fit six times in a circle, as a magic. That's why that six part is quite visible in all old art and architecture and statues and the forms, because it's easy to make a sixth of a circle. Six circles around the circle will be the next circle, next step, and that's complete. One plus six, okay? And everybody talks about it, even Rumi, because Rumi believes in whatever his teachers were talking about, remember? Avatar and Samadhi. And they believe that there are seven steps to enlightenment. Before the seven was a simpler one, three, which was Ilmul Yaqeen, Ainul Yaqeen, Haqqul Yaqeen. Means knowing it with knowledge, seeing it, and becoming one with it. That's how you understand how. Then they said, look, seven. And seven is blah, 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 blah. And it's very famous. Rumi believes in that seven. And those seven are union, love, knowledge, enrichment,
bewilderment.
No, unification, bewilderment, not being, non-existence, something like that. Right? These seven steps. Everybody knew it. Everybody believed in it, especially Rumi. Rumi is talking about it. Then everybody talks about why he didn't finish it. Where is book seven? And one of his sons apparently will write the seventh book, which is nonsense, really. No comparison. And this was a long argument, and I have heard it different argument here and there and there. When I came back to you, I was living in Paris, and it was a very good time. I came to this book, Enlightenment, then I realized it could not be seven books. It could be only six books. How could I teach you earnings? Could I teach you the thirst? I could give you water. The first step is already done. Why? Because of this silly book we have in hand. This book is not written like a normal book. This is a guy who is lecturing people, and within the lecture he will recite some poems. Those poems